My guest at this time is Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe. He is the senior senator from the Sooner State, and he's also the author of the brand new book, The Greatest Hoax, How the Global Warming Conspiracy Threatens Your Future. It's published by WND. And Mr. Inhofe is a former chairman of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee and is currently the ranking member since Democrats control the chamber. He's with us to talk about what he considers global warming alarmism and how a specific issue right now has that issue front and center. And, Senator, it's always good to have you with us.
Well, nice to be back with you, Greg. A lot of people don't get that connection that the Law of the Sea Treaty does some things to us that are just, if people, when they find out about it, they get pretty outraged. For one thing, it's the first time in the history of this country that we would be giving a multinational organization the power to tax the United States of America. And this is just further evidence that the United Nations, when they started this whole thing on the IPCC and on global warming, what they really want is to get control so that they don't have to be accountable to any of the countries. I would hope that anyone who is listening to us right now, if you're not familiar with my book, The Greatest Hoax, publisher has a website called thegreatesthoax.com. GreatestHoax.com. And in there, you'll get a lot of interviews I have with some of the liberal people who generally dislike me with a passion, such as Rachel Maddow. We have an interview with her, Alan Combs, along with Sean Hannity and some of the good guys. So if you that'll give you a good preview into the book.
Let's back up just a little bit here, Senator, because you mentioned at the outset the debate that's coming up soon in committee and eventually potentially on the Senate floor over the Law of the Sea Treaty. And I think a lot of people may know vaguely what that is. Some may not know at all. Briefly describe what it is purported to do and what it really does.
Yeah, this all started back in the early in the Reagan administration when they tried to do the Law of the Sea Treaty, which transfers the jurisdiction of 70% of the area of the surface of the globe to the United Nations. It's to an international tribunal that is set up by the United Nations. But for our purposes, it's the United Nations. And so it would put them, it started off just covering the sea. Then we find out it's also covering the air over the sea. And it's to make a determination as to what we can do with our land. I'm going to give you an example. We have the outer continental shelf, and then we have the extended outer continental shelf. As has always been the case, our United States producers and drillers can go out and drill for oil and gas in those areas, and they pay a fee to the United States when they do this. And it ranges between 12 and 18%. Now, outside of outside of the 200-mile area is an area that is still in the continental shelf. This would be transferring to others, allowing them to drill there and allowing them to tax us for the drilling that we do there. The amount of money that the United Nations could take from the United States through this method of taxation is probably in the neighborhood of $400-300 billion a year. It could be just astronomical amounts. The Law of the Sea Treaty is ceding our authority to the United Nations, to that multinational group, some 70% of the Earth's surface. And the reason that ties into my book I have a chapter about this in my book. Is that it's the United Nations are the ones that were behind this whole global warming thing, and they were the ones who were attempting to say that they were having catastrophic global warming, and it's because of man-made gases, anthropogenic gases, CO2, this type of thing. And if they're able to regulate that through cap and trade, then they will stop this catastrophic global warming. Well, we've had all these bills up. The first two bills were the McCain-Lieberman bills in 2003 and 2005. Then, of course, the Waxman-Markey bill more recently. We have defeated every bill. So what the administration is trying to do is to do through regulations what they were not able to do through legislation. And why is this important, Greg? We talked about this before, and the numbers are so big that people they have a hard time grasping it. The cost of regulating the greenhouse gases is between $300 and $400 billion a year. Now, that's a figure that no one argues with. That came from the Wharton School. It came from MIT and others. The range is always between $300 and $400 billion. Now, what do you get for that? Even if you disagree with me that the whole idea of global warming being caused by man-made gases is a hoax on the American people, even if you disagree with that, just keep in mind what the what Obama's director of the EPA said when she was asked the question by me live on TV, if we were to pass these regulations or do it by legislation, have cap and trade, would that reduce emissions worldwide? She said, no, it wouldn't, because the problem's not in the United States. It's in China. It's in India. It's in Mexico and other places. So that's their effort right now, is to try to do that through regulation. At the same time, on another track, they're trying to do it through the United Nations, through the Law of the Sea Treaty. And the hearing is tomorrow, the first hearing on this. So in the hearing, we're going to make it very clear that they are setting it up so that they have environmental lawsuits, and people in this country could be tried before an international tribunal, and this is just another way that the far left is trying to stop us from supplying the necessary fossil fuels to run this machine called America.
Let's follow up on a couple of the points you made. I know your time is limited, sir. Real quickly on the Law of the Sea Treaty, is this a typical treaty consideration in that two-thirds would be necessary in the Senate, and do you have the votes to stop it?
Yeah, well, we don't have the votes to stop it yet. We have right now, as of this moment, 27 who have signed a letter that we're going to be sending to the majority leader, Harry Reid, in telling him that we're going to oppose it. We're about six short right now. However, there are some of them who won't sign the letter who would vote against it. I feel fairly confident that we'll be able to defeat it. Let's remember back in 2004, when Republicans were a majority, I was the chairman of a committee called Environment and Public Works Committee, and they, at that time, were attempting to do it through to pass the Law of the Sea Treaty. That's the same one they tried to pass during the Reagan administration. And we were able to stop it because it's a flawed treaty. It's ceding our power and our resources to the United Nations. Now, there are a lot of people I serve with who think that there's no good ideas anywhere unless it comes from the United Nations or some multinational group. You and I have talked about that before. But this is an effort to get that done, and they're going to actually have a hearing. And I would hope that people who are listening to us right now would be following this hearing, because it will be on TV, I'm sure. It'll be, have a lot of attention. The Law of the Sea Treaty was all set to pass. It passed out of the Foreign Relations Committee in 2004 by 16-0. And then we found out that they were trying to get it passed, and we started having hearings. And the more people hear about it, the more they realize that this is not in the best interest of the United States, and it would be a very costly thing, not just in sacrificing our jurisdiction, but allowing the United Nations to have the royalties off of the drilling and the production that takes place in the Outer Continental Shelf.
Last question before we let you go, sir. You mentioned before that the administration tried to implement a cap and trade program that under testimony before Congress, they admit worldwide wouldn't have any impact on the climate. Now, of course, as you mentioned, they're implementing it to some extent through regulation, through the Environmental Protection Agency. What power do you have, particularly as a minority member of the Senate, to do anything about that?
In order for them to do that, Greg, they have to have an endangerment finding. That is, the EPA has to say that it's an endangerment to the health. We're talking about CO2 and this type of thing. Well, they did that, and they cited as their authority, or the science, the IPCC, which is the United Nations. Now, that was right before ClimateGate came out. We all remember ClimateGate. It showed that the IPCC, or the United Nations, has been rigging the science for 10 years, ever since the Kyoto Treaty was not brought up for ratification. So that's what this is all about, and that's what they're attempting to do. And I think we'll be able to defeat it, because we defeated it in the 80s, we defeated it in 2004, and I think now If we have the awareness and people understand what it is, it'd be the greatest transfer of power to a multinational group in the history of this country. And just imagine giving the United Nations the power to tax the United States of America.
Well, I know a lot of people would be concerned about that. We'll be following the fight, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much.
Oklahoma Republican Senator James Inhofe. He is the senior senator from the state of Oklahoma. His new book, The Greatest Hoax, How the Global Warming Conspiracy Threatens Your Future, published by WND Books. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.